good to us, isn't he? Amen. We're in the middle of a series called Extraordinary, Extraordinary. And it's the thought that when God puts his extra on our ordinary, that amazing things happen. And we've been picking out people through the Bible and talking about them and their lives. But I thought it'd be interesting if we brought somebody in that was maybe a little bit more. It's not in the Bible. But I want to talk about somebody that's not in the Bible. Her name is Harriet Tubman. I don't know if y'all ever heard of her or not, but she was one that was instrumental in freeing a lot of the slaves from slavery in America. And this was an amazing woman. I want to talk about her a little bit today. And the title of my message is Leaving Slavery. Leaving Slavery. 2 Peter 2:19, listen to this. This is interesting. It says, people are slaves to whatever has mastered them. People are slaves to whatever has mastered them. Now, between 1810 and 1860, it is believed that around 100,000 slaves escaped using the network called the Underground Railroad. It was formed in the early 19th century and reached its height between 1850 and 1860. Now, listen to this. In 1850, there were 1,488 slaves in Montgomery County. Wow. Right here. Wow. 1,448. And by 1860, their number was increased to 2,416. Listen to this. Nearly half of the entire population of Montgomery County, as many as two-thirds of the white families, owned one or more slaves. Right here, Montgomery County. Much of what we know today comes from accounts after the Civil War. An accurate statistic about fugitive slaves using the Underground Railway may never be completely verifiable. However, the majority of the slaves came from the upper South states that bordered free states like Kentucky and Maryland and Virginia. Very few escaped from the Deep South. By the mid-1850s, the term Underground Railroad came into being. Harriet Tubman was known as the conductor of the Underground Railroad. It wasn't really a railroad per se, but it was an escape route for the slaves. After Harriet Tubman escaped from slavery, she returned to slaveholding states many times to help other slaves escape. After she escaped, she came back to help other people escape. Which begs the question, if our world is in slavery to sin, and we have been freed because we are in Christ Jesus, are we willing to go back out in the world after we come together and go back out into the world and find other people and help them escape slavery? It's a good question, I think. Yes. It was very dangerous to be a runaway slave. There were rewards for their capture and ads that describe slaves in details. Whenever Tubman led a group of slaves to freedom, she placed herself in great danger. There was a bounty offered for her capture because she was a fugitive slave herself, and she was breaking the law in slave states by helping other slaves escape. Now, what do you think Tubman did when someone she was helping became frightened and wanted to turn back? If anyone ever wanted to change his or her mind, during the journey to freedom and return, Tubman pulled out a gun and said, "You will be free or you will die a slave. I have come here today to tell you the exact same thing." I don't have no gun. "But you will either be free or you will die a slave to sin." Tubman knew that if anyone turned back, it would put her and the other escaping slaves in danger of discovery, capture, or even death. She became so well known for leading the slaves to freedom that Tubman would became known as the Moses for her people. Many slaves dreaming of freedom sang the spiritual, "Go down, Moses." Slaves hoped a savior would deliver them from slavery, just as Moses had delivered the Israelites from slavery in Egypt. At one point, reward for Tubman's capture totaled $40,000. If she was never captured, never failed to deliver her passengers to safety. As Tubman herself said, "On my Underground Railroad, I never run my train off the track, and I have never lost a passenger." Harriet always considered her greatest resource to be her Christian faith. Thomas Garrett, an Underground Railroad activist, said, "I never met with any person of any color who had more confidence in the voice of God as spoken directly to her soul." Tubman became known as Moses after the Old Testament figure that freed Israel from the Egyptian slavery. I read a story this past week about there was an old farmer in India, and he captured a covey of quail, and he tied a string around each one of those quail's legs, and he put a stick in the ground, and he tied that string to a ring, and he trained those quail to march around the string. And he took it to the marketplace, hoping to sell it. And when he came, there was a Hindu man that he didn't like it that these quail were captured like this. And so, what he told the farmer, he wanted to buy them. So the farmer sold him the quail. And after he sold him the quail, the farmer said, "Now turn them loose." The guy said, "What?" He said, "No, just turn them loose." And he's very insistent, so he got his knife and he cut the string off of each one of those quail, and they just kept walking around in circles. And the Hindu man shoot them off, and they flew up and they flew off in a distance, and he saw them over there, and they all landed again, and they just kept walking around in circles. When Moses delivered the Israelites from Egyptian, from slavery in Egypt, there were people in the desert on the way to, where were they going? There was a destination. Did you know that? The destination was the Promised Land. God had prepared a place for them out of slavery, and God's prepared a place for you. God's plan is not for us to stay in slavery toward the sin that tears us up. But what the children of Israel did, they complained. And because they kept complaining, they kept circling around the mountain. God, they died in the desert on the way to the Promised Land because they couldn't get away from the slave mentality. And they died a slave, because they never experienced freedom. Exodus, the word Exodus means to leave. Is there anything in your life you want to leave? Anything in there you're like, "I'm out of here. I don't like that." Exodus means, the book of Exodus is a story of Israel leaving their slavery in Egypt. But they didn't just leave. God brought them out of Egypt with a mighty hand and rescued them from their slavery. So in Leviticus 26, 13, it says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt so that you would no longer be slaves to the Egyptians. I broke the bars of your yoke and enabled you to walk with heads held high. The night before God led them out of Egypt, he commanded them to celebrate the Passover. He said, commemorate this day, the day you come out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He said, celebrate the day that you came out of slavery because the Lord brought you out of it with a mighty hand. And when God gave Israel his law, the law to Israel, the first of the Ten Commandments, he said, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. About 40 years later, Joshua comes on the scene and he calls the people to make a decision to follow God. And he makes this powerful statement. He says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Did you catch that? He said, as for me and my house, we will what? Serve. Everybody is going to serve somebody. Everybody's going to serve something. But as for me and my house, serve the Lord. Make no mistake, everybody's going to serve somebody. It was the Lord, Joshua 24, 17, the Lord, our God himself, who brought us and our parents up out of Egypt that from the land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. And so over and over again, God reminds his people that they were once slaves, but that they should no longer live like slaves. He bought them and then he brought them out of slavery. Let me tell you something. When Jesus went to the cross, my Bible tells me that he paid the price. A price that he didn't owe, but it was a price that he saw value, and he saw value in you, and that he redeemed you. He made it possible for you to come out of slavery because of his love for you. You can stand fast in the freedom wherein Christ has made you free. God's plan is for you no longer. But listen, if this is all you know, if y'all is just going to, sometimes just because we're accustomed to it, because that's all we've ever done before, all we know is going around in circles. We don't know that we can fly. We don't know what freedom really is because we're bound to the. Exodus 1:18-8. Through 14, he says, we're told that the new king to whom Joseph meant nothing to came into power. You ever wondered why God left him there so long? 400 years. You think about it. They were in slavery for 400. Why didn't God rescue his people immediately? Now we know how they became slaves. Here it is. The Israelites have, the new king, he said, look, he said to these people, the Israelites have become far too numerous for us. Come, we must deal shrewdly with them or they will become even more numerous. And if war breaks out, we'll join our enemies and fight against us and they'll leave our country. So they put slave masters over them to oppress them with forced labor, and they built Python and Ramesses as store cities for Pharaoh. Listen to this. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread. So the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites and worked them ruthlessly. They made their lives bitter in harsh labor and brick and mortar with all kinds of work in the field. And in all their harsh labor, the Egyptians worked them ruthlessly. But even though we know how they became slaves, there's still the question, you know what it is? Why allow them? Why do you think God allowed them to be slaves and allowed them to remain as slaves so long? when Israel left Egypt, they had a destination. First of all, God had had a place prepared for them. They were going to the promised land. He had promised to Abraham that he would give it to Abraham's descendants as a homeland forever. By the way, that's the reason we always support Israel, because Israel is God's chosen nation. And the scripture says those that bless Israel, God will bless. And those that curse Israel, God will curse. And we better elect officials in our country today that blesses Israel. This is when they first came to Egypt. When they first came to Egypt, there was only 75 of them. But centuries later, when they left Egypt, they were a huge nation. Their fighting force alone consisted of 600,000 fighting men. Now, let's just put that into perspective. During the American Revolution, Washington fought against England. The Revolutionary Army rarely numbered more than 20,000 people. And in World War II, on D-Day, Allied forces landed about 156,000 soldiers at Normandy. That's a lot of men. But when Israel left Egypt, they had 600,000 capable fighting men to fight their enemies. And it was Israel's slavery, stay with me, it was Israel's slavery that made them a fighting force that was needed to possess their promised land. Amen. You start building walls and fortresses with brick and mortar, you pick up big rocks and you do stuff like that, you're going to get strong. Exodus 1:12 says, the more the Israelites were oppressed, the more they multiplied. How do you deal with your oppression? It's a good question, isn't it? Not only did they grow into a huge nation under their slavery, but the harsh work they were forced to do made them a mighty people who were strong and capable of standing on their own if called to war. So frankly speaking, listen, it was the chains, their slavery, that made them a nation ready to take a hold of what God had promised them. Secondly, when God sent Israel, the descendants of Abraham, down to Egypt, he sent them there to keep them from the influence of other nations and the gods of other nations. So whenever they went to Egypt, they didn't become a part of Egypt, because the Egyptians, vegetarians, and the Israelites, they were meat eaters, and they put them down in the land of Goshen because it wasn't good farm country, but the animals and the cattle, they prospered there and they began to grow. And through all that, God had his hand of blessing on them. Listen to this. Even when they were in slavery, God continued to bless them. So when they emerged from their slavery, they were prepared to be shaped and molded only by God. They didn't worship the gods of Egypt. They didn't live the lifestyle of the Egyptians. They were a people that had been set apart from the world around them and were prepared to be shaped by God's kind of morality and lifestyle. Lastly, Israel remained in slavery for as long as they did because, well, they never asked God to get them out of slavery. It's true. It's only after Moses was born, we're told that during the long period in Exodus 2:23, during that long period, the king of Egypt died, the king who commanded that all the male Israelite infants be thrown into the Nile. The Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out, and their cry for help because of their slavery went up to God. For 400 years. Do you ever get tired of circling the mountain? You ever get tired of just the same old, same old? Just going through the motions of life? Let me tell you something. There's a lot of life left for you. At some point in time, you're going to have to ask God to get you out of slavery. It's kind of like I'm a team roper. I team rope and been doing it all my life. But I've noticed that some people never really get any better. They just stay the same their whole life. And they would much rather go to a roping where they could hear their name called and get to go rope. And they'd rather do that and lose their money than pay money and go to a roping school so that they could improve and actually ask, humble themselves, and ask somebody to help them with their roping. No, we're just going to keep. You want some money? Here's some money. You with me? Is it true? If you ever need help, and if you're tired of going through the motions of life, and it seems like it's so repetitive, my counsel to you is, what are you waiting for? Ask God for help. Amen. But in our pride, if we're not careful, we're just like, there's areas in our lives we think we've got to make, but that's all we know is just circling the mountain. And we're so used to it that God will do this, and we just fly over there and go around the mountain again. Just because your location's different doesn't mean the slavery has changed. James 4:2, it says, you do not have because you do not ask God. Essentially, if you don't ask, he'll wait until you do. Israel got to the point where they were willing to ask for help, and they were still in bondage to their own agendas and to their own preferences, and they would continue to be in bondage until they realized that they wanted to be free. Until that time, they could submit themselves and submit their will to God's will. Until that time, Israel would remain like a covey of quail that had been freed from their bondage. But they weren't ready and they weren't willing to have God free them from their slavery. Even after their freedom, most of them died in the desert, circling in the mountain. And you might ask, preacher, why are you telling me all this? Well, it's a good question. I'm glad you asked. This is the reason, because Jesus said that he would free us because we have all experienced slavery to sin. If you're here this morning, you're going, not me, you're really in deep. You're really in deep. John 8:36 said, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. So many times we think we can get free in and of our own selves and that we can do it ourselves. I'd much rather do it myself. That's what little kids say. Do it myself. Let me do it myself. Well, that's okay for a while. But listen, at some point in time, you cannot do it by yourself. You need God's extra on your ordinary. And when you humble yourself and you say, God, I'm tired of this. I have to have some help. And you just come down to the altar and you kneel down and you say, God, you know what? I've been circling this mountain long enough, and I'm tired of these things in my life that separate me from my wife, from my husband, from my kids, that separate me from my parents because of the rebellion in my heart. At some point in time, we have all got to, as individuals, realize and recognize that without the help of God, we are just a bunch of quails running around in a circle. As long as we live in this world, we're going to encounter suffering, trials, and difficulties. Jesus said this in John 16:13. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Amen. You're going to have troubles. And that's part of this deal today. You will have troubles. But don't think that your troubles is just for is just picking on you. Everybody else has troubles, and some of them have the same troubles you have. But listen, take heart in your troubles, because he's overcome the world. 1 Peter 4:12-13, it says, dear friend, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you. Everybody say, it's only a test. As though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice in as much as you participate in the suffering of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. So why did God allow their chains? God allowed their chains for a time so that they could become stronger. One person put it this way, no pressure, no diamond. Have you ever heard of PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder? Yes, sir. An estimated 70% of adults in the United States have experienced a traumatic event at least once in their life, and up to 20% of these people go on to develop post-traumatic stress disorder, or PTSD. An estimated 5% of Americans, or 13 million people in our world today, have PTSD. But back in 1995, researchers at Trinity Western University in Canada found that such trauma can actually be, wait for it, beneficial. They called the phenomena PTG, or post-traumatic growth. Among other things, they found that the trauma growth resulted in gratitude for being alive, positive changes in their priorities, strong religious or spiritual beliefs, a sense of control and security through their belief in God, greater meaning in their lives, a stronger belief on their own competence and self-reliance, improved relationships with people they cared about, increased compassion or empathy for other people. In short, their trauma changed and strengthened them and made them into better people if they handled it correctly. They said that many become stronger because of their faith in God. God used the chains that bound others to strengthen the lives of those who looked to God for help. So first, God allowed their chains so that they could become stronger. Second, God allowed their chains to protect them from the things of this world. Third, God allowed their chains because they needed to be reminded of their need for God and their need to ask God. But what I found intriguing about this passage was that God used Israel's chains to prepare them for freedom. God has a plan for you in your chains to prepare you for freedom. He has a plan for your life. So, I want to say this. There are a lot of people that go to church. And a lot of times, they go for the wrong reasons, because they never allow God to change them. Church can't change you. No. But when we get in the presence of God, God can change you. It was when God gave their chains to God that God used their chains to free them and restore the power in their lives. 2 Peter chapter 2. Verse 2 gives us a warning about slavery. It says, but there were also false preachers among the false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. And you see, I've always read this and I've thought, well, they're talking about the preachers there. Talking about the false teachers. But do you know that anybody that you allow to speak into your life is a teacher. Any place you go, whether you call somebody, a friend on the phone, or call somebody on the phone and ask them for advice about your life, they will tell you what they think you should do. You come tell me, I'll tell you what I think you should do. But what the Bible says is that there will be false teachers. In these last days, there will be people who will tell you. It says we have itching ears to hear what we want to hear. And one of the things I found out as a pastor is that there will be a lot of people that they'll come for counseling, and I'll give them a word that is a biblical-based word, and they won't like it. And so what they do, they go talk to somebody else. And they'll find another person to talk to, and they'll keep looking for somebody to talk to until that person tells them what they want to hear. He says, there's people, false prophets, false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies. Even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them. Did you catch that? Yes. The sovereign Lord, Jesus, who bought them, he bought us, he paid the price for our salvation with his blood, with his sacrifice. The Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. They're bringing it on themselves. Many will follow their depraved conduct and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with fabricated stories. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping. For God did not spare his angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them in chains of darkness. Verse 17, these people are springs without water, mist driven by a storm, always causing a storm. Blackest darkness is reserved for them, for they mouth empty, boastful words. Did you catch that? Boastful words. Always talking about themselves. By appealing to the lustful desires of the flesh, they entice people who are just escaping for those who live in error. They promise them freedom while they themselves are, listen to this, slaves of depravity. Slaves of depravity. Listen, you can never give freedom. When Harriet Tubman came back as a free woman, she helped free the other slaves. You can't free somebody unless you're free. You can't preach the word of God or teach the word of God until you have it in your heart. It says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not, what? Sin against you. So when God's word is in us, we have the freedom of his word, and we can share that word with other people. Be sure that when you counsel your friends or you talk to other people about God, that the word of God always backs up what you're saying. It's just a good word. So people are slaves to whatever masters them. Amen. Whatever we let masters. So verse 20, if they have escaped the corruption of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and are again entangled in it. So they knew the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and then they became entangled in it and overcome. And are overcome by the corruption, they are worse off at the end than they were at the beginning. It would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it and then to turn their backs on the sacred command that was passed on to them. Of them, the Proverbs are true. A dog returns to its vomit, and a sow that is washed returns to her wallowing in the mud. Man, that's strong stuff, isn't it? Yes. See, God has freedom, and he has designed for each one of us to walk and live in his freedom. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to a place of repentance. Because the perishing comes from the slavery. Freedom comes from Jesus' sacrifice on the cross when I was a young man. My dad, he would go to the rescue mission when he was pastoring a church in Utah. He would go to the rescue mission in Ogden, Utah, and do a church service once a month. And when he couldn't make it, he sent me and Russ, my brother, we would go and we'd preach to the homeless people, the bums on Skid Row. I mean, they're just like, they had to go to church before they could get their free meal. And so we go preach, and I mean, I learned how to preach at the rescue mission. Because, I mean, them guys, they're like, they just fall asleep, some of them. Some of them would just heckle you, and they'd be belching in church. And, I mean, you got everything. I mean, it's just I was just ready for cowboy church. No matter. Bring it on. Made me realize, though, that everybody needs a Savior. Harriet Tubman was the Moses for the slaves. But without her faith in God, the one who freed people from their inner bondage, she would not have been able to do what she did. One day when my dad came back from the rescue mission, he brought a guy with him. His name was Hamo Hito. He was, I forget what country he is from, but he was a guy that played in the New York Philharmonic Symphony, played the violin. And he was just living out on the street. And Dad brought him home and got him a violin. And I mean, he got on that, and it was just like, you gotta be kidding me. This guy just like. So Dad got him a place to stay with some people in the church, and he started giving violin lessons and got him set up, and everything seemed to be really going good because, I mean, he was making a good living and everything was getting back on track. And the next thing we know, these people that he's living in his house, they said, Hamo's gone. He didn't say nothing. He just left. You know what? I have a lot of admiration for people who will stay the course, no matter how tough the going gets, no matter what happens in your life. And there's so many people here that you've gone through so many things in your life. But the temptation in the middle of the storm and in the middle of the problem, in the middle of the slavery and the issues in your life, and you're trying to fight yourself out, the temptation is to go back to Egypt and just go through the motions of life. But I just know that there's somebody here today that God's speaking to your heart right now, and he wants to free you from that bondage that is in you. And he wants you to rise up and just say, you know what? Enough is enough. I'm going to ask God to help me, and I'm going to humble myself before God, and I'm going to get some help, and I'm going to overcome this stuff in my life that has brought me bondage for so many years, because I am not a slave to sin. I am a servant of the Most High God, because he bought me, he paid for me, and he's a good Savior. So, Lord, we thank you for your love. Thank you for your blessings today, oh God. May your words sink down deep into our hearts, I pray. I'd like for you to keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed for just a second. This morning, if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, that's the first step in freedom. That's the first step in peace. And God wants you to know, he said that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to a place of repentance. He said that we've all sinned. We've all come short. I've sinned. We've all sinned. But he said, if we accept him as our Savior, confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God's raised him from the dead, that we'll be saved. What does that mean? We'll be saved from the bondage of sin. But you see, nobody can make that decision for you. You as an individual have to make it for yourself. So this morning, if you've never accepted him, or maybe if you have, you just haven't been living for him, simply by raising your hand, say, preacher, I need Jesus in my life. I need to make him the Lord of my life. We want to put a Bible in your hand. Anybody, just slip your hand up high. Anybody, preacher, that's me. Yep, leave your hand up. We want to put a Bible in it. Thank you. Yep, over here. Thank you so much, son. Thank you. Anybody else? Lift your hand up high. We don't want to miss anybody. Preacher, that's me. I'm tired of going in circles in life, and I want my life to count for God. Anybody else? Preacher, that's me. I know I need this. Anybody else? Yes, thank you. If you raise your hand, would you look up at me? Would you mind coming up and let me pray over here? Would you mind coming up, buddy? I'd be so proud of y'all. It's a great day. My goodness, what a blessing. Thank y'all. I'm so proud of you guys. Thank you so much. Bless you, buddy. What's your name?
Levi.
Levi. I love that. I love you, buddy. What's your name?
Jeannie.
Jeannie. It's a good day for y'all. Amen. Okay, now here's what I want to tell you. The Bible says if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God's raised him from the dead, that we'll be saved. So I want to help y'all pray, but you have to believe in your heart. Okay, can you do that? Okay, let me just pray for you. And you all repeat after me, okay? Y'all help us. Just say, Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Lord, I am a sinner. Please forgive me. I invite you into my heart. I invite you into my life. From this day forward, I give my life to you. Help me to read my Bible, to pray, show up for church, and get baptized. I love you, Jesus. Teach me to love you more. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Oh, I'm so proud of y'all. Bless your heart. Thank you so much. Listen, go visit with those ladies for a second. Give me a hug, buddy. I love you. Thank you. Will you stand with me, please? We're probably going to, listen, part of the reason for the church is like when the Holy Spirit convicts us of things in our lives that we need to make right with God. And the other part of the church is to grow and mature in Him. And part of that growth happens through we have what we call digging deep, where you dig deep into the Bible. We get deeper into the Bible during that second service, during the 10 o'clock hour. We have men's Bible study, ladies Bible study, youth group. We have so many things going on around here. But what that does, it helps us not to continue to go in circles in life. And it gives us a route. It gives us a template for life so we can live life better. And we have life groups, my goodness, where people come together and we don't just sit in rows where we sit in circles and we're able to talk to each other and got some great, great life groups. So I just encourage everybody, find a place where you can, it will help you navigate and help you grow. And if you find yourself just kind of going through the same motions every day, this message is so for you. It's so for you because it's freedom. Yes. Freedom for you. So how many say, preacher, I've got to change some things in my life. And I've got to commit some things to God. I got to get rid of some of these things that are bringing chains, dragging me down. And I've got to replace those things with good things. Raise your hand. Okay, everybody raise your other hand. I want to pray for you. We're going to surrender to God as His servants. Amen? Amen. So, Lord, we declare to you right now that we are not our own, that we belong to you, that your word is alive in us. Help us, Lord, to be faithful stewards of your word. I thank you, Lord, that you purchased our salvation when you gave your life so that we could have eternal life, so we could have a relationship with you, oh God. We understand that the relationships are most important thing to you, oh God. Help us, Lord, to be faithful in every area of our lives, Lord, and to replace these bad habits with good habits. Help us, Lord, to form habits that honor you, that glorify you, and bring glory to your name. And we thank you, Lord, for giving us as a church wisdom how we can help each individual to grow and mature. Help us, Lord, to reach, teach, and disciple in a way that is pleasing to you. In Jesus' name I pray. And the church said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you. We love you. Listen, we got our prayer team up here. If you need special prayer, y'all come on up. Thank you so much. If you'd like to come and spend some time at the altar, we'd love to have you.